Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Gresh and Fourier.
It's over. It is over. And the Kansas City Chiefs have won it. Heading to the Super Bowl for the third time in 4 years.
Andy Gresh.
James on the drive, gets in the paint, layup, missed it. And the game is over. Lakers furious, they thought he was fouled. Excuse me, and it's now overtime. LeBron James so upset. Regulation is over, we go to the 5 minute OT.
Christian Fourier.
And Carolina clearly is a cup contender. They're fit, they're relentless, and they're a 4-1 winner over the top team in the league.
Gresh and Fourier right now.
One more knee will do it. The Philadelphia Eagles are going back to the Super Bowl.
On WEEI.
Final hour of Gresham Hart, who is in for Fourier today. Fourier will be back tomorrow. We've got Kansas City and Philadelphia in Super Bowl 57. By the way, your home for Super Bowl 57 is right here on WEEI. You can listen to Super Bowl 57 on your phone. The Westwood One game will stream in our Boston metro area. Download the Odyssey app, save WEEI as a favorite, and you can listen wherever you go. But I know the hashtag of NFL is rigged is what was also trending yesterday. Do you think the NFL, Hart, cares?
Yes. I don't know. I say yes because, I mean, does anybody want to be considered rigged or cheating or any of those sort of... Everybody wants to be liked and lauded and all these things.
Wow.
But there's also a certain degree of, you know, any publicity is good publicity. As long as they're talking about us because everybody's talking about us kind of view.
There's no doubt.
And they're in that world because I saw so many, either they don't like the team, so I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl, or... Oh, this is ridiculous. It's rigged, so I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl. You're full of crap. You'll be watching the Super Bowl. You'll have nachos. You'll have friends over. You'll have a party. You'll like you're going to eat it up. You're ready for the Miller Lite, Coors Lite, you know, ad bowl
Man,
off, whatever the hell that is.
You sound like you are ready to eat right around
always.
Lunchtime. You just
always.
Mentioned the...
I just had my peanut butter and jelly, but,
oh.
You know, it's not as fulfilling as, you know, Super Bowl foods.
As nachos or...
Nachos.
The assorted light
chicken,
beers or
light
things
beer.
Like that.
Yeah, all of those things are more filling than my peanut butter
you
and jelly.
You hit about five things. I was like, this guy's hungry.
Yeah, a little bit. But I do think there is some sense in the NFL circles of any publicity is good publicity. As long as that we're the king of the mountain, as long as we are 24/7, 365 news cycle, we don't cross the line. Remember the Mark Cuban line about...
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody's put that away and said they're not going to cross the line. We are addicted. We don't care. We may bitch. We may moan. We may complain. And then we say, what time's kickoff? Is it 6:20 or is it 6:18?
Well, the other part of it, too, is that the right teams did win the game. Like, I don't look at yesterday and say, somebody got hosed.
Well, the home teams won the game.
Right,
so
right,
theoretically,
right.
They're the better teams.
Right.
Now, you say right, I say wrong. I wanted Joe Burrow and the Bengals to win.
Okay.
I like Joe Burrow. I like the Bengals.
That's a personal preference, but you're not sitting here today thinking that Cincinnati got jobbed out of going to a Super Bowl.
Am I not?
Because of the officials.
Am I not?
No.
Because every call went the Chiefs' way in the second half of that game. Every flipping call. And that's a bit curious. Think you not?
Maybe they earned it.
How can you earn calls going your way?
No, but what I'm saying is
they earned
is
the questionable
that,
roughing on the sideline they get. They earned that Burrow doesn't
see,
get.
That was not questionable.
Put your flag away. They earned the questionable pass interference. They earned the holding not getting called on the Mahomes run. They earned all these things? Or they were gifted these things by, did you see the jersey swap Photoshop
again,
of Mahomes and the ref swapping jerseys post-game?
That was actually pretty good.
It made me laugh.
But you know as well as I do, when it comes to holding calls not being made and things like that, we can just pick a play in the second quarter and probably find one and stand there and be like, hey, that wasn't called. Now, I know it's magnified in the fourth quarter.
And they found him on the Bengals and they didn't find him on the Chiefs.
But the other thing, too, is that to me, Mahomes was out of bounds. He was clearly, he was so far out of bounds.
How far out of bounds was he?
His feet were outside the white of the sideline whenever
I think
he
you're
got
exaggerating.
Hit. There's a,
he was on the white still.
There is a photograph.
And I think
it,
he flopped.
I will. Hey, no. You know who was the real loser in that whole thing? Was like the trainer or whomever
who got
it
taken
was.
Down.
Oh, did you see that?
Yes.
And then I think she might have jumped up and been like attending to Osai who ended
who
up getting hurt.
Looked
in
like
that
he might have had a serious injury. Luckily, he didn't. He just had a teammate yelling at him.
Oh, what do you make of that? It was
terrible.
57. I can't remember the
terrible
name of the guy, but they, for those who missed it, they showed him walking in the locker room, and it was essentially along the lines of. Why the F are you touching him there?
And I agree with him, except for the fact that you know that you're in the AFC Championship game. There's cameras everywhere, including on your way into the locker room. Don't be that guy. Don't be a bad teammate. The guy is already bawling his eyes out on the sideline because he knew he effed up. He doesn't need you to emphasize it in the locker room and make a thing out of it. Dink.
Wow.
I thought that was
you
a
would
dink
have
been teammate thing to do.
Wait a minute.
Keep your mouth shut.
Aren't you the one of accountability and call everyone out and
did whatever, the guy not know he screwed up?
Whatever happened to the truth doesn't hurt.
The truth is never mean.
Sorry. The truth is never mean.
And it
so
can
you're
hurt.
Getting on him. You're getting on that dude from the Bengals for being mean when he was speaking the truth.
Sort of.
Why was he touching that? Why was he touching Pat Mahomes at that point in the game?
Because he was caught up in the moment and not letting him get more yards because more yards is closer to a field goal. And in the end, by trying to prevent him from getting more yards, he gave him 15 in the field goal.
Yeah, exactly right.
Game over.
By the way, the NFL has informed teams today that the 2023 salary cap will be a record $224.8 million per club.
Let's go.
So,
Patriots, let's get the spending spree started.
What would that give them? A little, or right around just like $40 million pretty close in cap space without making any adjustments?
I thought they had more than that.
Well, I thought it was going to be in the 38, 39 range once this number came in. Now, I know there were projections of it being anywhere between like 222, 223, and I know they might have had, you know, a million or a little bit more, but still, that's a pretty healthy chunk of dough that the Patriots are going to have available. And really, Hart, I think the only major cap stain they might have is if Devin McCourty doesn't come back. Like, they've been kicking that one down the road for a while. There will be a cap hit.
Oh, yeah.
At some point when McCourty walks
absolutely
away. Absolutely. That's been the one guy that they have revised, I guess you would say. You ended up legitimately giving him a deal with real funny money in it.
Yes. I mean, it was a little like Brady. You knew you were paying the, what
there
was it at the time, $13 million
something
or whatever.
Like
you knew
that,
it was
right
on the books.
You knew it was coming.
Whether he comes back or he doesn't come back, you're paying him.
There
you're paying
go.
McCourty. He's on the books. Whether he comes back or doesn't come back, kick the can. Yeah, so SpotTrack has them at $38 million for estimated cap space.
Okay, and I think maybe there's a little more there. And they have done very little in the way of contract adjustments. Yeah, I know they did a tweak or two down the stretch to be able to keep like $1.5 million or $2 million in space because now you've got those guys you called from the practice squad. They end up having to get like a real paycheck for a, you know, so your cap accounting has become even that much more complicated because of all these dudes you can move up and move down on the roster and things like that. But they're going to have a healthy amount of money to go spend.
Yes.
That's why if they've got about $40 million, I ain't taking 12 and a half and necessarily giving it to
Jacoby?
And giving it to Jacoby Myers.
So you're saying bye-bye to Jacoby Myers? You're saying bye-bye to Jonathan Jones?
No, here's what it is. I think with Jacoby Myers, I think you do what you did at one point in time with Troy Brown and Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman, and you say, go find somebody that values you. And you can either bring it back to us if you want, or you'll end up seeing that we're, you know, you might not like our number, you might not like what we're telling you, but we're closer to right than wrong.
So you don't like my idea of maybe overpaying on a short-term deal. 3-39 is the number I threw out there.
No.
To keep one of your trusted, proven offensive players, a guy who's worked really hard and has sort of become, as you seek to replace the McCourtys and the Slaters and the leadership and sort of...
He's a good guy to have around, no question.
I don't feel like you'd ever regret having him around.
No.
His most regrettable moment happened. It was in Las Vegas, and it was throwing the ball back across the field.
There is that, and that was one of the more bonehead plays. And he seems to have not caught maximum flack for that.
Yeah.
It feels like people are willing to at least maybe give him the benefit of the doubt. And what was a real boneheaded, I mean, that's an all, that play's going to live in NFL history forever. And people will remember Jacoby Myers one way or another because of that play. But I just think, you know, and I've talked about this with Fourier a little bit as well. I don't know what team is a la when the Patriots went after Wes Welker and they were like, ooh, that guy can fit here and we take him up. I don't know if there's a team who says, I got to have that guy. Like, who is the, is it Houston because of the connections to the, you know, you bring him in there. But who is going to, if, like, SpotTrack is correct, and that the valuation that they have placed on Jacoby Myers is $12.5 million a year, who in the NFL is going to be like, hey, man, we're close. We just got to go spend $10 plus million on this guy to come in and do what? Because he came out of a Matt Patricia offense last year. I just don't feel like this is a I don't feel like this is a real buy time in the career of Jacoby Myers just yet. Now, you put him in a more translatable NFL offense run by Bill O'Brien, and if you said, you go, maybe it's short term, 1 or 2 years, then maybe someone starts to look at him a little differently or he emerges in an offense that's a little more suited for his skill set. But what team that's close looks at him and says, it's either a bad team that throws money at him or it's a good team that says, hey, you can kind of put us over the hump, but I don't even know if a team like that would pay premier money.
So this is a weird team, but I, for example, the LA Rams, if you paired him up with Cooper Kupp, I think he's a great wingman for Cooper Kupp.
Fair.
When Cooper's getting, you know, doubled, because he played by himself most of this year, Cooper Kupp, before he got hurt.
Yep.
They got nothing out of anybody else. And you make him the just get open and be available guy, Jacoby, I think he would be a really nice fit for that offense. A team like that that already has the true number one that defenses are focusing on, and you just be there as an outlet receiver, be there as a secondary option, that's where I think Jacoby should go. I don't think he should go, like, he's not a number one receiver. So if anybody tries to spend money, like, say the Giants, another team that doesn't have number one receivers, really, don't go to the Giants and pay. You're going to get ripped. You don't need that. You won't enjoy yourself. Find the right place where you can make a lot of good money, Jacoby. And maybe that's New England. Maybe you're right. Maybe he finds the market isn't quite as fruitful as he expects it to be and comes back to New England.
Comes back on 1 for 8 or something like that to keep his options open.
Because I know Christian has used the argument that he may be hindered by he's the next Patriots slot receiver. None of them have been paid. That may hurt him on the open market. What is he? He may also be hindered. I think a lot of NFL teams, once they label you coming out of college, they keep that label on you. They go back to their file and they're like, what do we have on Jacoby? Oh, slow, not explosive. Why would I want to pay this guy? Ignoring the fact that he's proven himself a productive NFL player for 4 years, catching 80 balls, right? Like being basically the number one receiver in New England. They'll just see him as, well, I didn't want him then. Why would I want him now at a much higher price? I could have just drafted him then if I had any interest in him. And I think teams are kind of simpletons that way at times.
By the way, according to Over the Cap, the Rams will only start the year 13.9 million over the cap, which is different than years past.
Well, see, SpotTrack has them at 15 million over the cap,
over?
So it's somewhere in there.
So there we go.
But the flip side of that is, because I was looking, the Patriots at this estimated 38 million are fifth in projected cap space heading into the offseason. Number one is your Chicago Bears, with not only the number one overall pick in the draft and the ability to trade that and do what they will with that.
Oh, baby.
But a projected $98 million in cap space to spend.
Wouldn't you trade Fields?
I would not reset the clock. I don't think I would.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're the GM, that'd be a ballsy move.
Fields has already shown he can play in the NFL and he can run in the NFL.
Well, because what you're then saying is that I'm going to be able to get this team ready to go before we got to start paying this guy. And oh, by the way, you got to evaluate him getting better while you're still trying to build the team around him.
I think Cole Kmet is coming on as a nice weapon. You give him, the problem with them is you need to give him a receiver. And there aren't really receivers. We're talking about Jacoby Myers. He's not going to change Justin Fields.
No.
Like, you're not giving him a number one. You're not giving him Stephon Diggs. So you got to trade. Bears should trade for T. Higgins. You got $100 million to spend in cap space. Trade for T. Higgins. Here's what you do. You swap the number one overall pick for two first-round picks. You use one of those first-round picks for T. Higgins. You give him $100 million. You still have another first-round pick to make your team better. Chicago Bears are good.
Oh, God.
What's wrong with that plan? Genius.
Oh, Lord.
Real American genius.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Jones and Mego coming up at 2 o'clock. The maiden voyage for those two here on WEEI. So that comes up at 2 o'clock. Jones and Mego with Arcand. At least I think with Arcand. We haven't seen the guy in a couple of days.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, he's here. So
he is here.
All right, good. He's confirmed. Here.
You didn't like seeing Fitzy and Hart fill in late last week for Arcand?
No, I didn't. I had no issue with that at all. It's just that, you know how it is. Like, you guys are coming in. We're running out of here.
It is what it is.
It's going to be like you at the 154.15. It'll be like, hey, good luck. How you doing?
Boom. See you.
Yeah, exactly.
Down the dinosaur and into the truck.
Get the hell out of here. Jay in North Carolina wants to talk about the Super Bowl with Gresh and Hart in for Foyer. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. You're doing a good job. Keep it up.
Thanks.
Hey, look. I think this is going to be one of those boring Super Bowls you've ever seen. It's going to be one-sided. The old cliche of defense wins championship has never been more true with the Eagles. And I watched the that San Francisco game where Brock Purdy just disappeared. I think the Eagles are just too overpowering. It's going to be like men playing against a college team, a professional against a college team.
That's silly. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, that is beyond silly. You've got a really good offensive line made up of men. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Joe Tooney was a college player when he was here, I guess. I think people forget. But, no, I don't think, again, here's what it is, Hart. And you know, for it's been the propaganda that's been out there forever.
Oh, it's a passing league, and if you can't pass, you can't win. No one plays defense anymore. Run game doesn't matter. Da 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 da. Same tired crap that you've heard from talk show hosts in this city for a decade now because it's lazy and it's easy. But in reality, you do have a bit of a styles clash here in terms of Kansas City has to work hard to really be able to generate a run game. And to do it against the Philly defense is going to be tough unless you're hitting them with misdirection type stuff or, you know, pulling guards, trapping D linemen, things of that nature to where you're creating creases for guys like Pacheco. But
who's a man?
But
he runs hard.
He runs hard, no question.
He almost knocked himself out putting his helmet in somebody's chest second half yesterday.
But will Philadelphia be able to really lean on their power run game without getting a better performance from Jalen Hurts? Because in the first half, he missed what would have been an easy touchdown to A.J. Brown on an overthrow. And there was another one right over the middle that he just completely kerplunked. And I think it was that was actually a throw to the right sideline that kind of was overthrown. I think somebody caught it on the sideline. Guy was wide open. That really is what it's a little bit of a styles clash here. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to be boring. I mean, if you want 54-51 like that Monday Night Football game, that ain't happening.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be boring.
No, I have hopes. Certainly health is going to be an issue for Kansas City. They have some guys they need to get healthy. But the reality is no one covers Kelce in the playoffs. I don't know why. Kelce gets his 6 to 7 catches or more.
Pretty amazing.
Every flipping playoff game he plays. So do I think he's probably going to get that? Yeah, I think he's probably going to get that. And that's the start to their offense. You mentioned the running game. I think Pacheco is a good runner, a hard runner. And some of the stuff they do with those little flips, underhands, I mean, to the cliche, that's an extension of the running game.
They're all sweeps. They're just like, dressed up differently.
It's moving eyes around and gaps around to get guys. But that's part of the running game. And depending on how healthy Mahomes is, I thought early on against the Jaguars, everything they wanted to do was moving him, moving everything in front of a defense. They ran like a speed option on one of the first plays of that game, like an old-fashioned high school speed option. Like, if they can do some of that, yeah, they do not have an elite running game. They do not have an elite running back. Pacheco's been good over the second half of the season. He's been, I think, a revelation for them. They have the best offensive coach, I think.
Sirianni's not a bum, but if there is one guy who's going to have a handful of plays to be ready to go in a game like this, it's going to be Andy Reid.
Right, and he'll have something to pull out, and then you throw in, again, another cliche warning. It's the Super Bowl. It's different. I could see A.J. Brown losing his cool. I thought he was frustrated 2 weeks ago. I thought he was frustrated with missed throws yesterday.
He was,
and if all of a sudden it's, you know, late second quarter and he's not involved in the game, you've taken him away a little bit, he'll go off. He will start to potentially be a negative factor for the Eagles. But they're good. I think the Eagles are the better all-around team when you bring in pass rush, defensive line, you know, secondary even. And then the weapons they have offensively. I think people forget Devontae Smith other than the catch yesterday and the hurry up.
The catch that wasn't.
Sanders. Like, they're a pretty good, well-rounded team. I also would like to see how Jalen Hurts plays. This is big boy football now. This is career and legacy defining football for him.
Oh man, this is contract extension. This is you being well, then again I say that, and they also then like let Nick Foles go after he helped them win a championship.
But a little different. Like, this is ascending young quarterback you built around.
But they changed their mind on quarterbacks a lot in Philadelphia.
But if you win this game and play well, they won't be changing their mind. They will be building around you for the foreseeable future. They'll be giving you a contract. You'll have a Super Bowl ring. Because I know the guy on the other side is going to play. I know he's going to compete. He's a GOAT. He's whatever you want to call him. And I know Patriots fans will get all worked up and, oh, Chiefs fans are so insufferable. Excuse me, Patriot fan, did you just call somebody insufferable? You might want to look in the mirror every once in a while. You are insufferable. All good fans that are in their winning stretch are insufferable, yep, in my opinion. You're supposed to be insufferable. If you're not, you don't really care enough. But all this fear of Mahomes wins another, you know why you fear that? Because you know how good he is. deep down, you know how freaking good he is as he goes to the Super Bowl again and collects another MVP and goes to the AFC title game yet again. And you can whine about the NFL pampering him, and I can whine about him being a Roethlisberger 2.0. I'm sick of seeing him limp. I'm sick of seeing his injuries right before me. I don't care if you're hurt. If you're out there, play ball. But he is really damn good. Really, really damn good. So it would stun me if the caller's right. And this is a non-competitive game with Patrick Mahomes taking it on the chin. It would absolutely stun me if he's not competitive in this football game.
I'm with you on that. How about this? 5 years as a starter for Patrick Mahomes. Hosts 5 AFC championship games.
That's pretty good now.
Goes to 3 Super Bowls.
Pretty good now.
One win so far. He's a 2-time MVP. He is a 1-time Super Bowl MVP so far. First 5 seasons of Patrick Mahomes' career, some are saying, is the greatest first 5 quarterback seasons of all time. In fact, I saw former Patriots O-lineman Rich Ornberger, who's now in the sports talk world out in San Diego. He said that if the Super Bowl is Patrick Mahomes' final game, if he hung it up at 27 after that, he would waltz into the Hall of Fame because he has had that amazing a run. How do you contextualize what Mahomes has done to this point?
He's great. I don't think there's any other way to put it. He is absolutely great. He is a Hall of Famer right now.
Mm-hmm.
A Super Bowl, the MVPs, the consecutive, like, he's dominated the game. And I keep saying that they're the new age Patriots, and it's not just because of Mahomes. It's Reed. It's the marrying of the quarterback and the coach
continuity
together.
There is massive.
Yes, and he's good.
Yes.
It's not just continuity. It's good continuity.
Right.
He's among the best coaches. That's why, I don't know if is it too early in the week for me to ask you this? Who are you rooting for?
Kansas City.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of rooting for Andy Reid because I think he's the second best coach of this era, this generation. And the second ring, I think, will solidify that.
And he's now got, what is it, second in playoff wins all time?
I think 21.
He's only behind Bill, right?
Correct. 21 wins. He's only behind Bill. Only guy to get 10 wins in both with 2 different teams. Did it with the Eagles. Did it with the Chiefs in the postseason.
That's something, no question.
I think you add a second ring to him, he becomes the no-doubt second-best coach of this generation. And who knows where he goes in the next couple of years. You might start asking other questions because he's done it in 2 different cities with multiple quarterbacks. There's some impressive nature to what he's done coaching and building 2 different teams to Super Bowl contenders. So
I
Reed.
I would argue that the
he's better
one
than Bill.
Well, no, but the one person that you're trying to make Laird happy, the one person who has the most to gain from this Super Bowl this weekend, I think, it's Andy Reid.
Yes.
Because Mahomes is going to play his way into greatness regardless of what happens on Sunday.
Because MVPs matter. Regular seasons matter to a quarterback.
Yeah.
But they don't to a coach. The
Correct.
Ring matters.
The rings.
And when you enter that second ring hierarchy,
Bingo.
Guess who goes bye-bye? Sean Payton, bye-bye.
Right.
Pete Carroll, bye-bye. All these other, well, he won a ring.
Brian nope. Billick,
multiple
guys
rings.
Like that. Yep.
Multiple rings. And it shows no signs of slowing down. I don't know what Andy Reid wants to do moving forward, but Patrick Mahomes has been to 5 straight. There's no rule that says he's not going to go to 6 straight, 7 straight, 8 straight AFC title games.
Ride it out for another half decade. I mean, how old is Reed? He hasn't hit 65 yet.
I don't believe so. He's younger than you think.
He is 64.
Yeah. Because he kind of seems old, but he's 5 years behind Belichick, 7 years.
Right.
6 or 7 years behind Belichick. So let's just say he only does 4 more years.
Mm-hmm.
With Mahomes, there's a chance 1 or 2 of those are Super Bowl years.
Yeah, Reed doesn't, the age doesn't appear in his face. Whereas, like with Belichick, there were some photos of Bill. Well, first of all, he had a giant Band-Aid on.
Yeah, what was
right?
that all about?
I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. I wonder if it was, you know, of course, the first thing I think of is, you know, Uncle Buck. He's like, bye, Buck melanoma, you know, like
that. Not off your face.
Right, not off your face. But no, it's funny because someone said to me, man, Bill looks old.
Well,
like, for the first time. Well, that's the thing. He's
70 years old.
70 years old. That is
correct.
I know
we want to pretend it's a new generation, as 70 is the new 60, or whatever the hell you want to call it. 70 is old. People start to fall off cliffs. People die at that age. The average age is only early 70s for men, isn't it?
Man, I didn't expect you to go.
I'm looking this up.
I didn't expect you're going to go to average, Google for the average age of the American male. I'll go 67.
The world average age of death is 69.8 years for
okay.
men.
Okay, I was in the neighborhood, the so you're right. No, that's the world.
That's important.
We're not talking about all of the, you know, prepackaged foods and things like that that we would eat here in America that are tremendously delicious but are also terrible.
But, I mean, when you get in your 70s, you're old.
Yeah, you're on notice.
Yeah,
you're like, on watch.
Well, they say don't buy green bananas.
That's true, but
rent,
you're
don't
right.
Buy.
Like with Reed, he gets this one, and then even if it's just one more over the next couple of years, I mean, you're right. Your hand
even
is stamped. Who was it that put him in a pretty select group of guys who have won multiples?
Yeah, I mean. Flores, right? Is the only guy that's not in?
Funny that I was thinking, like, there's I think Flores got in the Hall of Fame.
Well, it took a while.
It did.
But,
yeah.
I mean, you're
like,
locking
it's him, it's Gibbs, it's Walsh, it's Belichick, it's Coward didn't win too.
No.
Noel. No. You go back in the day, right. Noel and Lombardi and guys
it
like that.
It puts you in a different class.
I don't know if you can get to 10 in terms of the guys who've won both.
Puts you in a different class. And it also will elevate Mahomes, not to the degree. It's more important for Reed, but it also elevates him into that class of two ring winners, and you're just adding to a Hall of Fame resume very, very early on.
And you know, there is that part of me that can understand it. Hey, since we have been doing the show, last night we found out that Kellen Moore was out as the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm.
Mike McCarthy is going to take over play calling.
Retro.
Good luck there. Kellen Moore already has a job. So it leaked out yesterday that Moore was out in Dallas, and today he has been hired as the offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Chargers. Your thoughts on that?
I think by this time next year, he'll be the head coach.
Whoa, baby.
I think it's a good job for him. You're marrying yourself up with a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert, and I think we all think that Staley's kind of a boob as a head coach. So if you, and I've said this for a while, whoever took that job, if you nuzzle up to Herbert in the right way, ownership's going to say, well, that's his guy, Herbert. And
you're right.
Right. And so a year from now, if things aren't great, if you don't go to, say, an AFC title game with the Chargers, I think Staley's out for mismanaging whatever he mismanages, because he will mismanage something.
It's a good call.
Then all of a sudden, Kellen Moore goes, hey, I'm convenient. I'm right here. Why don't you bump the pay up about $3 million and I'll stay for the next 5 years with Herbert.
Man.
So I think he'll be the head coach by next February.
I'll tell you what, the Chargers are on notice. Because if they don't start breaking through here at some point, you're wondering if they're just going to completely miss their window to be able to do anything.
And I also think it puts Herbert on notice.
I kind of agree.
He's super talented. I don't disagree with that. But super talented quarterbacks are supposed to win more consistently and lift their team and lift their coaches and lift everything.
At some point,
you think Zach
become
Taylor's a great coach, or
no,
is Joe Burrow a great quarterback?
It's more Burrow than the coach. But to your point, you got a chance of becoming Dak Prescott. Where it's, oh, your hand is stamped. You make a lot of money. You put up a lot of good numbers, but you can't win big.
Right. So start winning.
Very much.
Because you got everything. You got talent all around you.
Right. I know they got to stay healthy. That's a team that's going to have to reboot pretty soon. They got some old wide receivers. They're going to have to.
They're wasting some of the talent around him.
By the way, Sean Payton said on Fox yesterday, instead of the, hey, listen, everything's open. It's going to be a big week next week. He had on a, like, Broncos-colored tie, and apparently he said he had great meetings in Arizona.
Ooh, does he want to take on Kyler Murray?
I mean, seriously, that feels like he'd be walking into his final job if he took the Arizona
game. Would you rather take on Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson? Those two teams.
Oh, dear Lord. Honestly?
I'll take Russell.
Man.
It's not great. They both seem like dinks.
I sit out a year.
I'm going to keep doing TV with Gronk.
Can I go to
country? Let's rock.
Because I'm going to get a guy who's a veteran that no one on that football team respects.
And wants to fight on the sideline.
Or I'm going to go get a petulant baby who thinks it's all about him. Ugh. Man.
Let's rock.
You'd rather be Frank Reich and go to Carolina with a blank slate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just be like, let me figure this out.
Oh, I would not want either of those quarterbacks. It's worse having the wrong quarterback than having no quarterback.
Totally agree with you. Are You Done? Brings it home next.
WEEI. WEEI. New England Sports Original.
Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Now, it's time for
Are You Done? Are you done?
Are you done?
Are you done? You done, right? You done, right? Are you done? Are you done?
On Gresh and Fourier.
Are You Done is sponsored by Unified Office. If you run a business, you know the rough impact the labor shortage can have on your customers' phone experience. Unified Office specializes in keeping businesses from losing incoming customer calls and revenue. Learn more at unifiedoffice.com. Billy Lanny, are you done?
I am not done. You guys have probably seen it by now, but the Empire State Building last night.
Yes.
Lit up the building with green and white and tweeted out, "Fly Eagles fly. We're going green and white in honor of the Eagles NFC Championship victory today."
It's embarrassing.
I don't get it. How did it happen?
It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. And here's what bothers me the most about it is Philadelphia is a town that doesn't need us to support them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Philadelphia has their own hardcore fans. They don't need another hardcore city like New York to be like, "Hey, we're with you.
Right, we got you back."
You know what I mean? It's not like some like lucky team who just kind of squeaked in and comes from an area that doesn't care about sports, but like, Philadelphia is a whole other breed of hardcore sports fans. I just found it odd that why would New York be like, "Yeah, we support you guys."
Yeah, inexplicable.
Well, the first thing I did was look at the MSG companies and see if that idiot Jimmy Dolan, who owns all that, has, like, you know,
any kind of Philadelphia tie?
Something in, yeah, Philadelphia, some kind of connection or whatever.
But are we going to do that here if the Penguins win, like, the Stanley Cup or the Eastern Conference?
Well, that's
what
I'm saying. That would be if Gresh is saying if there was a Dolan connection.
I don't care whether you have a connection. Think first. Don't be dumb.
Imagine, like, the Prudential putting up, like, "Go," and then put the team, like,
"Go Yankees."
Like, they did, like, "Go Sox" with the lights. Like, they would be "Go Eat."
Know your audience.
Right.
Yeah,
you're very odd for New York.
Are you done? Are you done?
I'm done.
Terp, are you done?
I'm not done. Real quick, so people that just have way too much time on their hands. This Japanese YouTuber created a custom setup to allow his pet fish to play Pokemon. And during the live stream, the pet fish, like, escaped back to the home screen somehow and ordered, like, stuff off the guy's card and released the information. That's what I'm saying.
No
I'm
chance.
Just the messenger.
No chance.
That's what I'm reading it off. That's what I'm reading. It
says, honey, it wasn't me that ordered it. It was the fish.
It says the fish controls the game by swimming to different areas of the tank. I don't know how they do it.
Do you happen to know what kind of fish? I don't know.
A beta fish. Those are the ones you can get for like $3 at PetSmart.
Yeah, it's just because
they're disposable.
Yes.
I'm supposed to believe this is smart enough.
This guy streams
it
on YouTube. And it escaped somehow. Something went wrong.
Nope.
Just a crazy story.
I think the only thing that might have escaped is that guy's mind. However, I am intrigued with the fact that this enterprising gentleman may have figured out a different way for people to be able to play games or Pokemon and things like that.
Well, to have a fish play the game.
I mean,
that's revolutionary.
That is, it really is something when you think about it. Now, again, I'm not a Pokemon player. I know about Snorlax only because that's really the Chris Shime is human Snorlax, but nevertheless, this is mind-blowing stuff. The things they do in Japan, it's just, I don't know. Did you ever eat eel?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, when I was young. Not cool.
It's not terrible.
Oh, I was, you know, it left a
How old were you?
Probably 8.
Oh, well. Have you gone back?
No.
Scarred
damaged,
for life?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, eel.
Okay. Eel. Ugh. Not
I
terrible.
Try
you ever
that.
Step on an eel when you're like at the beach or walking around? It's gross.
No.
It's nasty.
No. None of that.
I mean, it's just
are you
a
done?
Snake.
Are you done? Are you done?
I am done.
Hart, are you done?
I am not done, but Eli Apple is done playing, but he has a postseason employment opportunity. The noted Bengals cornerback and trash talker was extended an offer from Cam Soda. Apparently a webcam porn site.
Well, now.
That is willing to pay him up to $250,000 for a live one-hour strip show on Super Bowl Sunday, February 12th.
What? Only a $250,000?
$250,000. They sent him a letter kind of mocking him. Please let me know if this conflicts with your travel plans to Cancun.
Oh. Well, that's where you do it, is you just film it in Cancun.
Right, get a couple pops in you.
Yeah, you have an exclusive hour from the beach, collect your check, post it up.
Falls out, you get 200 all that money.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Like, you think his nickname would be the Big Apple? I'll be here all the week. Actually, I'm done for the week.
I have to give you credit. You went through all that just to set that up.
No,
didn't
I actually
you?
Thought of it just then. When
just
I
was, now?
Absolutely, I swear.
I got to tell you, that is some kind of something right there.
Are you done? Are you done?
But don't you think if you're going to show the apple or the twig and giggles, that'd be more than $250,000?
Well, for Joe Average, no. But for an NFL player, yeah. A guy that's making good money already?
Right.
If I'm going to put myself out there, so to speak, a little something for the effort.
Well, and I was just going to say, listen, if you're packing, let it out. Why not? Show it off.
Well, it's going to be an amount where, like, okay, if the league suspends me for a year, I could still get by.
But yeah, how can they suspend you?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, the league
conduct detrimental
something.
Or something.
For a family program.
What will his mom think? Have they given her another podcast at ESPN yet?
She actually deleted her Twitter account. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh,
she deleted her Twitter account
no.
after the game.
Well, she didn't want the smoke.
Do you want to be? Not. Do you want to be in the business or not? Apparently not.
Right.
Hard. Thanks for jumping in today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Foyer will be back tomorrow. That is it for this edition of Gresh and Foyer. Tomorrow, Tommy Curran joins us at noon. Justin and Billy produced it. If something went wrong, blame them. The maiden voyage of Jones and Mego with Arcand is next.
Are you done? Are you done? Okay. Are you done? You done, right? Are you done? Okay.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.